Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Friday, December 1st, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Well, there's just a...
Excuse me.
Okay. There's just a ton of things going on today. We did have a nice pop in gold today earlier after Flynn came out and had mentioned that President Trump had instructed him to contact the Russians. And we saw gold pop 15. Paper markets dropped a couple hundred points and almost immediately. And damage control came in. We still have some negative numbers on the paper markets. Gold corrected down a little bit, but we're still up $5. $5 for gold today at $1,280. Silver, same thing, saw a big increase, came down $16.51. Platinum was down $1 at $944, but palladium was up 13 at $1,024. The USDX today was trying to have a chance to look at this. What did it do today? It was down 0.18 at 92.88, and crude oil was up 90 at 58.30. And the paper markets today, you have the Dow. They brought it all the way back, just about 41 points to the downside. 24,231. The NASDAQ was down 26 at 6,847. And the S&P was down 5 at 2642. And this all happened because on the report that Flynn is going to testify against Trump. 10-year yield 2.36, down 0.06. What was the euro doing? 119, down a little bit. I believe Bitcoin had a decent day today. It's back up over 10,000, close to... I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Up 10% today at 10,850. But that is all due to the CME is going to launch the Bitcoin futures in 3 weeks. It got the green light from the regulators, and we saw Bitcoin jump. And the news comes as the CBOE and Cantor Exchange self-certify for their own Bitcoin derivatives. And they just can't leave things alone, can they?
Bitcoin derivatives sounds like a really great investment.
Doesn't that sound exciting?
Melody. I mean, that one...
But let's see, it goes on. They talk about Barry Silbert, a founder and CEO of Digital Currency Group, says they think it's going to enable finally the approval of Bitcoin ETFs and other digital ETFs. You know what? Wall Street, you know, they must be grasping for something. They must see something coming and hoping that this will be able to, you know, cover their... just cover them for the problems that I think we're going to see in the paper markets in the very near future. So in a separate release today, the CBOE said it has filed a product certification with the CFTC to offer the Bitcoin futures trading, and the certification is subject to regulatory review, and a launch date will be announced shortly. At that point in time, they're anticipating the December 18th date. NASDAQ plans to launch Bitcoin futures as early as the second quarter of 2018, and NASDAQ would base its price off of 50 Bitcoin sources from around the world, while the CBOE is currently using one and the CME is using four, NASDAQ spokesperson has said. So they just can't leave anything alone. So now you really get to be regulated and manipulated, just like everything else is. And
how's that all working out?
I know.
Almost as if the government, they regulate one thing, and the regulation, they have some brilliant plan to regulate whatever it is. I don't care. Eggs, price of eggs, and one way or another, it has adverse consequences. So next thing you know, they have to regulate the price of chickens, and then they have to regulate the price of grain to feed the chickens, and then they have to regulate the price of lumber to build the chicken coops, And one regulation seems to mandate another because the regulations typically wind up screwing up. They take the idea behind regulation, and in part, is that government's going to take responsibility for maintaining some kind of stability. All right, we're going to regulate the prices and you will be better off. And what happens almost inevitably is they start regulating things like medicine. They helped with medicine. I can remember as a kid, we had a doctor who used to drive 20 miles to come give me and my sister our shots when we had tonsillitis in the wintertime, which was about every year back when I was, between 5 and 10 years old. He would drive, right? And then government, they started regulating medicine. Now we have to drive. And before, it used to be $25 or something for a shot, and now it might be a couple hundred. Every time the government gets in it, it gets worse. It doesn't get better. And I doubt that there are people in the audience who can show a lot. I don't doubt there are some instances where government regulation helps things, but I doubt that you can point to a bunch of them. All right? Mostly, if government starts regulating, government gets involved, you can just kiss that goodbye.
Well, not only that, now they have control, now when you sell, you get that 1090. I mean, there isn't going to be anything that's private. So any privacy that you thought Bitcoin or these cryptocurrencies was going to give you, because today Sarah Huckabee Sanders said, yeah, the White House is monitoring the cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin. She says, I know this is something that is being monitored by our team here. She said this yesterday, answering a reporter's question about whether the government would regulate the cryptocurrencies. Sanders said she didn't have any specific to share on the matter, but it was brought up by an advisor to President Trump recently. Tom Bossert with the Homeland Security team, an advisor to the president, has brought this up in a meeting earlier this week. And they're keeping an eye on it. They got to get their little grubby hands. They're not going to allow all this money to be invested in something that they can't control.
Well,
so,
you have to recognize the government's broke.
It's every government is broke.
It wants all the money it can lay hands on. Say, oh, we're going to cut taxes. Yeah, but they are. I'll guarantee you one thing is going to happen. They are going to enforce debt to a more. They are going to be more aggressive in enforcing debts owed the government and collecting debts owed the government than they have been in the past. They are desperate for money. They got to have it. They're hoping to do something with a tax cut, but one way or another, they've got to generate more cash. Here's an article from TechCrunch talking about coins. Cryptocurrencies and Coinbase. The headline is Coinbase ordered to give the IRS data on users trading more than $20,000. That's the headline. Most digital currencies exist just beyond the grasp of federal regulators. However, on Wednesday, a federal judge in San Francisco ruled that Coinbase must supply the IRS with identifying information on users who had more than $20,000 in annual transactions on its platform between 2013 and 2015. After noticing the number of tax returns claiming gains from virtual currencies didn't line up with the emerging popularity of digital currencies like Bitcoin as an investment vehicle, the IRS asked Coinbase to hand over a broad swath of information on users. Coinbase pushed back. This isn't Bitcoin. This is Coinbase, which is an entity that facilitates trading in cryptocurrencies. Coinbase pushed back against the IRS, and now the court has landed on a compromise that the Coinbase company is calling a partial victory. Now, this is not a victory, all right? This is an illustration of the camel getting its nose in your tent. And it goes on, it says, Coinbase itself admits that the narrowed summons request requests information regarding 8.9 million Coinbase transactions and 14,355 Coinbase account holders. That only 800 or 900 taxpayers reported gains related to Bitcoin in each of the relevant years, and that more than 14,000 Coinbase users have either bought, sold, sent, or received at least $20,000 worth of Bitcoin in a given year, suggests that many Coinbase users may not be reporting their Bitcoin gains. Oh. I'm shocked, shocked, I tell you, Melody. Some of the Bitcoin, you know, your Bitcoin has gone up to $10,000-$11,000 a coin, and some people aren't reporting their increased income based on Bitcoin. I'm just shocked. Who would have guessed it, Melody? While cryptocurrency users who value the relative decentralization and privacy afforded by digital currencies won't be happy, Coinbase succeeded in limiting the government's initial request for information on all Coinbase users who made transactions from 2013 to 2015 to the smaller subset of high-value users that made over $20,000 worth of transactions. Now, from 2013, this is my commentary, from 2013 to 2015, the average value of Bitcoin was probably average worked out to around $300 a coin. $20,000 would have involved transactions of about 65 coins per year. That's not too high. But today, when Bitcoin is trading for $9,000, and that's what, and actually it's up $10,000, $11,000 now. When I wrote this, it was $9,000. Now it's up $10,000, $11,000. And the $20,000 limit will include anyone who bought just two or three Bitcoins per year. All right? Government wants to know. And Coinbase, they say, oh, it's a victory. We've only got to give up information from 2013 to 2015 on those who traded over $20,000. Today, this victory is going to apply when they apply it to 2016 and 2017. We're going to be talking about a victory that involves anywhere from, who knows, two coins to four or five. All right? And they will be expecting you to report. So as I said, the IRS camel now has its nose in the Coinbase tent. Soon the entire camel, its wife, and its kids will be totally inside the Coinbase tent. And what we're talking about here is for those people who say, oh, I'm going to get into Bitcoin, and I'll be able to shield my income from taxation, because nobody will know. Well, we'll see about that. It looks like that theory is folding up before our eyes. We're seeing evidence that it's beginning to fold up, and I'm going to guess that when it becomes mandatory to account for all of your Bitcoin transactions, and it probably will within, if I said 2 years, I think it'd be too much. I think you'll see that sometime next year. 1 year probably, maybe more. We don't know. But it's going to take a lot of the, why do you want Bitcoin if the IRS is going to be right there with you? A lot of people, you know, they're buying Bitcoin to stay away from the Internal Revenue Service. And if they can't stay away from the Internal Revenue Service, why will they want Bitcoin?
You know, everyone, so you know, any type of currency that's not tied to government, I don't care what government is, they're going to come in and regulate it somehow, some way. But even with it going to futures and having derivatives, and I mean, it's crazy, you know, it's, you know, anything that's making a buck, they want it, they want their share, they want their cut. And when you have the petrodollar that is, you know, balancing on the cliff, they can't have anything to disrupt, you know, their game. And, you know, going back to the U.S. gross national debt, that jumped $723 billion in 12 weeks. You know, so when they're trying to get a $1.5 trillion tax cut bill passed, and I saw, well, we got it down to a trillion. Okay, a trillion. So they're trying to cut those revenues. While they were doing this, the gross national debt has spiked $723 billion, and that's 12 weeks since Congress has suspended the debt ceiling. It just hit $20.57 trillion, or 105% of the GDP. So now you have Janet Yellen, and she's even come out saying, hey, this isn't sustainable. Well, no kidding.
Yeah, no. surprise.
Hey,
Janet, you must be listening to this program, because we've been saying that for 5 years. And why don't you call in?
It for a lot longer than that, but, you know, with you, yeah. I mean, it's Fitch Ratings believes that under a realistic scenario of tax cuts and a macro conditions, the U.S. gross national debt will balloon to 120% of GDP. Now, they say by 2027. I think it'll be a lot sooner than that. But that's based on today's projections and everything. Well, we know those all change. They change very rapidly. I mean, just like the catastrophic events that we've had, the hurricanes we have, and the fires. Oh, it might be $90 billion. Probably closer to 200 to 500 billion, and they just reported it's a little over 200 billion now. So who knows where it's going to end, but I'll guarantee it's going to be higher than 200 billion. So, yeah, their projections, they're not very good at it. And they're only good at it on the low side, just so they can get their little passes done in Congress and in the Senate. So on Monday, Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan had chimed in about the unsustainability of the trajectory of the national debt. And in addition to the $25.57 trillion outright debt, there are also unfunded entitlements. Nobody talks about those. No one talks about those.
Once again, I am shocked.
Shocked, I tell you.
Yeah.
So again, it's here you go with your debt. So again, the future, how rosy does it look?
Well, it doesn't look rosy. It looks weird, Melody.
And here's something that's interesting, too, and it's we got 2 minutes to do this before we go head into break. The IRS starts sending Affordable Care Act penalty letters to some restaurant operators. Some restaurant operators this week began receiving letters warning of the ACA penalty assessments that could reach into millions of dollars. Employers began receiving the letters on Monday. She's from this attorney, Tabitha George. She's an attorney with Fisher & Phillips. They specialize in this type of case. The IRS earlier in November quietly revised its advice to employers with shared responsibility provisions under the Obamacare. So these penalty assessments... The IRS sends out these assessments. If an employee went to the marketplace that receives a subsidy and the proper form wasn't filed and the form did not specify an affordable safe haven, so now these restaurants could be paying up millions of dollars.
Which means we're going to have to learn to cook.
Which means they're looking for revenue everywhere they can get because they're having more problems.
That's what I was saying. I mean, they're going to be increasingly aggressive about collecting debts that they think are owed to the government. Now, they're going to have a problem with this because what are they going to do with people? What are they going to do with people who haven't been paying their debts to the government? Are they going to seize their homes, their cars? What are they going to do? Are they going to jail them? You can't jail everybody in the country.
No, they freeze everything until you pay.
Like I said, more regulation equals more trouble. We're going to take a break. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival. We will find you acting on your best.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, we got a nice little package today. It's going to include gold, and it's not a 1/10 ounce. It's a Mint State 62 $10 Liberty gold piece. Everybody just loves those, and they're a great item. They're a great buy, and we've got a great price on the Mint State 62 $10 Liberty gold piece. And this package is also going to include $25 face value of the 90% silver quarters. And I've been getting them in and getting them shipped out on these brilliant uncirculated quarters, and they're absolutely gorgeous. It's so nice to be working with uncirculated coins versus your regular bag of junk silver that, you know, it's been around, it's circulated, and there's nothing wrong with it. But it's really nice to see these uncirculated quarters, 90%, $25 face value in this package. It also includes your shipping cost for $1,070. $1,070 for a Mint State 62 $10 Liberty gold piece, $25 face value of 90% silver quarters, brilliant uncirculated, and include shipping, $1,070. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and make sure you get to the website and sign up for our weekly newsletter. Comes out every Monday, and you can also listen to the archives to the program. So, well, we were heading into break on the amount of debt, the unfunded liabilities, $723 billion just in 12 weeks once the debt ceiling was suspended. So we have to deal with that here in the next couple of weeks. It's going to be a bumpy road going into the holidays.
Well, the reason they've had several, I think you said 700 billion and change, 760 billion or something applied to the debt in the last few weeks. Is that true? Hello, Melody. Hello, Melody.
Yes. I'm sorry, I had a little problem. I couldn't hear.
Uh-huh. You had your mute thing on again.
No,
didn't
not
you?
At all. I really couldn't. I think I just had a little disconnect with my plug-in on my USB cord, but well, I'm sorry.
Anyway, the point is they have to go deeper into debt. They're going to continue to go deeper into debt. Here's an article from The Week, and the headline is GOP Senator says tax cuts must be followed by structural changes to Social Security and Medicare. So, yay, we're cutting taxes. Well, that's great. We're also going to cut Medicare and Social Security to some degree. Senate Republicans started the clock for final vote on the tax plan Wednesday evening, but among the unresolved demands from GOP waiverers is a provision to prevent the bill from adding up to $1.5 trillion to the federal deficit over the next 10 years. No serious analysis has suggested The growth from slashing taxes for corporations and other businesses would make up for that shortfall. And Republicans haven't offered any evidence. At a Politico playbook forum Wednesday, Senator Marco Rubio, Republican from Florida, said that cutting taxes needs to be followed by cutting spending on popular federal programs. Again, you know, this is that's only reasonable. All right. And the idea that we can still provide popular federal programs, which is to say something of a free lunch, it's losing. Reality is overcoming that fantasy. Right? The programs are popular because you, in theory, get more than you paid in, at least for Medicare, for example. Rubio said, many argue that you can't cut taxes because it will drive up the deficit. But we have to do two things. We have to generate economic growth, which generates tax revenue, while reducing spending. That will mean instituting structural changes to Social Security and Medicare for the future. He's not saying it's going to happen right now, but it's got to happen. All right. The point in all of this is that we're getting stressed. There's not enough money to fund all of the programs. Taxes are, at least in some people's opinion, they are arguably too high already. They can't easily raise taxes. They've got to cut programs because their ability to go into debt is diminishing. They are losing their ability to go deeply into debt, additional debt, to a degree that's enough to keep funding these free lunches. And we have people out there that are, we want a free lunch. We want a free lunch. That's kind of the cheer from a lot of voters. And the government isn't going to be able to provide that free lunch if it can't borrow more money. And I think that's the problem. They're running out of the ability to go deeper into debt. What did I see from the ECB, the European? I think that was the article. Here's something from Paines, Gaines, and Capital. And the headline is, the European Central Bank comes clean on rising rates and coming systemic reset. Remember how the Federal Reserve, the European Central Bank, and others all claimed that zero interest rate policy and quantitative easing were about generating economic growth, making mortgages more affordable, and helping consumers? Well, that was a gigantic lie. The truth is that every major policy employed by central banks since 2008 have been about one thing, maintaining the bond bubble, all right? And we're talking about government's ability to keep going into debt. It says governments around the world have used the bubble in bonds to finance their bloated budgets. If interest rates were anywhere near normal levels, most countries would lurch toward default in a matter of weeks. If you think this is a conspiracy theory, consider that the European Central Bank openly admitted this in its semi-annual financial stability rule this week. Even so, the European Central Bank said that, quote, higher interest rates may trigger concerns about the sovereign's debt servicing capacity, and noted that distrust in mainstream political parties continues to rise, leading to fragmentation of the political landscape away from the established consensus. Well, first, note that they are talking about higher interest rates may trigger concerns about sovereigns, and they mean governments, debt servicing capacity. The servicing capacity is the government's ability to pay the interest on the note. You understand? They're not talking about paying the principal. They're never going to pay the principal. They're just trying to maintain the illusion as long as they can pay the interest on the bond. The interest, a couple of percent. As long as they can pay that, they can pretend that the bond is a performing debt instrument. It's still a solid investment. You can use it as collateral. You can sell it on the markets. If they have to admit they can't even pay the interest on the bonds, they have to admit that this whole thing is over. It's done. All right? And what we're talking about in this report is that Gaines, Paines, and Capital is alleging that the one thing that the system has been dedicated to for the past, ever since the financial crisis started in 2007, 2008, what they claim government's all of its action has been fundamentally about maintaining government's ability to issue more bonds. And when that folds up and we can't go deeper into debt, that's when they pull the plug on the whole system. In plain speak, the European Central Bank has admitted that if rates were to rise, interest rates were to rise, the financial world would quickly realize that most countries couldn't finance their debt payments. Indeed, the five largest economies in the world are all near or above debt to GDP levels of 100%. They're saying that they can't. The Federal Reserve is doing the dance of the Janet Yellen is doing the dance of the seven veils. Some of you may remember that goes back to the 1950s or something like that. But it was essentially a striptease, right? Biblical striptease, so it was okay. The dance of the seven veils. She's saying we might raise interest rates in December. We might do it. Yes, we might. Stick around. Odds are they won't.
No, they can't.
They may do that, but they can't do it significantly. Even if they do, it's a quarter of a percent. They're fooling around with a quarter of a percent. Why? Because a quarter of a percent is going to... Who is it going to impact more than anyone else? And it will be, ultimately, the government of the United States. They have to pay another quarter of a percent on their bonds, maybe more. And they can't do it. They can barely keep it together right now. And Marco Rubio, he's talking about, oh, we're going to have to cut Social Security and Medicare in order to maintain some, allow the tax cuts to be reasonable. So there also have to be spending cuts. It's rational, it's reasonable, but we are facing a situation where the government won't be able to go deeper into debt.
Tell that to the people who paid into Social Security. They wanted to keep their own money, but they were forced into Social Security. They paid into Social Security, and now they get cuts in Social Security so they can do tax cuts. So how does that work for them? Aren't people going to be a little ticked off? I mean, it's...
Yeah, they're going to be a lot ticked off.
They should be. They should be.
You know, but on the other hand, they've been warned about this. I can absolutely remember my father talking about Social Security when I was back about eighth grade, seventh or eighth grade. I remember the conversation.
We all knew it wasn't going to be there for us, but we were forced to pay into it, just like we're forced to pay health care.
Well, you're forced to do what you go along with. You know, I mean, if nobody really puts a gun to your head, are you forced or are you merely encouraged? Or, did you fold up?
The real world out there now. But the real world out there.
But the real world is out there. And it was even out there during the last 20, 30 years while we were paying into this thing. And we knew we were getting ripped off. Anybody who wanted to look at it knew we were getting ripped off. And we would get ripped off when the time came. And they say, okay, it's time for me to collect my Social Security now.
That's fine. But how dare these politicians, you know, come up now and say, oh, just so we can get this tax cut passed, just so we can get something passed, because I'll tell you what, if they don't get it passed soon, this whole thing's going to come unraveled real quick. I don't think it's going to be the nice, happy December, Merry Christmas that everyone is anticipating, especially, you know, the market was down big today. And we'll have to see how this plays out next week and so forth. But if Flynn, you know, depending on what Flynn has, he's prepared to testify against Trump. He's prepared to testify against the family. He's prepared to testify against the White House staff. Today, we had a big drop in the stock market, gold spike, just at the moment when they said that when Flynn was going to put, when he was... that he was going to testify against Trump, then damage control came in and everything got all better okay. And most of these headlines that I just read to you now, they didn't come out until after the markets are closed because they can't affect that stock market. So can you even imagine what is going to happen if impeachment proceedings begin and a lot of these other things begin? These markets, there's no way they can do a rate increase in December. Consumer spending is down. The only reason we had the spike in September and November and October, or October and November, was due to the catastrophic losses we experienced, the hurricanes and the fires in California. I mean, this whole thing, Al, is about ready to go belly up.
I know. The whole thing is like, so vulnerable.
But hey, let's go buy some Bitcoin.
Good idea.
Good grief.
Good idea.
It's just, yeah, it's going to get very dicey very soon.
Well, it's been dicey for a long time.
It's been dicey, but
not. And you
got to
give the devil his due. They have held this thing together. I mean, I thought it would have gone down at the year 2000. I thought this thing was finished almost 20 years ago, and just goes to show you, you know, I made a mistake. You know, I was wrong.
They
have been able to hold this together and defy reality for decades. Really, they've been able to do it since we were broke in 1971. That's when they stopped repaying the bills, our currency, with gold. That meant they were no longer redeeming their currency. It's like me no longer. I write a check. I'm going to the store. I've used the example before. I'm going to the store to buy a new flat-screen TV for $1,000. I write a check for $1,000 and give it to the store owner, knowing that there's not $1,000 in my bank account. I'm not going to redeem that check. Well, the bank company takes it, and he passes it off to somebody else. He says, well, we've got a check here from Al, and we can use it. I'm going to use it to pay my manager for his pay this week. And he may be able to find somebody else who takes it, but the truth is Al is not redeeming his check. It's an NSF check. That's what we've been doing. Our government has been doing NSF checks ever since we went completely off the gold standard in 1971. And you could trace it back further than that if you wanted to. You could make the argument back when we did to 33, when we went off the gold standard domestically in this country, or 65, when we went off the silver standard in this country. We've been sneaking up on it. They thought they could hold this thing together, but the reality is you have to pay your bills. And if you can't pay your bills with something tangible, guess what? You're bankrupt. Right? We can scout around and play little interesting games and pretend that you're somehow managing to pay your bills when all you give people is a piece of paper. But if they can't redeem that piece of paper from you, from your bank account, all right, you're bankrupt. That's the point. And if three of them charge you with bankruptcy, they can put you in an involuntary bankruptcy. That's the way the world works for ordinary people. For government, it works differently, but the fact remains, government's bankrupt. All right? And we are coming to, this is that moment with little boys, hey, you know, the emperor doesn't have any clothes on. Everybody's running around saying, oh, the emperor is so got that beautiful cloak and, you know, vest and pants and shoes and the rest of this sort of thing. No, little kids say, no, look, that guy's naked. He's buck naked. Well, that's what's going on. We're hitting that moment. We're coming to that moment where a lot of little boys and girls are going to say, hey, the emperor, that is to say the government, is buck naked. And if it is, we've got a problem. Take another break. Be right back. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival. Won't you lay it on the line? I need to hear it just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alfred Adisk, and this is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. And what's next, Melody?
Well, we were talking during the break, we were talking about North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And that perhaps, and you know, and who knows what is behind Flynn's testimony and you know, his, who knows?
I mean, who knows how much he could make stand up? I can testify.
Yeah,
I was the guy on the grassy knoll who shot Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Can I prove
it? It could be nothing.
That's another story.
It could be.
And there will be other people who are going to testify. No, you weren't. You were, you were back at the University of Illinois, which is where I was when it happened. And we saw you there. I mean, there's evidence to the contrary. Just because you're willing to testify, and this is after he has admitted lying to the FBI. He is now fighting to stay out of the slammer or minimize however many years they're going to give him. All right, he's cut a deal. All right, he's okay. I'll testify against Trump if you give me time off for good behavior or whatever is on my what I could otherwise expect.
But a big distraction.
You're lying to the FBI.
But a big distraction could be a war. Why don't you talk a little bit about that, Al?
Well, we got an article here from the National Interest, where the author, the headline is North Korea, Why War is the Only Option Now. And he's arguing essentially that the United States has two choices. They have two possibilities right now. Trump has two possibilities. He could deter North Korea and by cutting some kind of a deal where they agree to play nice. Now you can guess how long that's going to last, but he could do that. Or he can initiate a preventive war and say, look, these people, they've got to be stopped. We've got to get their nuclear missiles away from them or eliminate their capacity to go to nuclear war. So deterrence, we cut a deal, or preventive war where we attack. Now the problem that Trump is facing is that if we deter cut a deal with North Korea, we know they're not going to live up to the deal. All right, we can get this issue off the front burner for who knows, a year or two or five. I don't know how long it goes, but you can assume that when North Korea, give them more time, cut a deal, give them more time, they're only going to just, I don't care what they agree to, they will build bigger and better nuclear devices. All right. So, but the problem is that everyone apparently agrees that if North Korea is attacked, they have weapons set up that will automatically attack Japan and South Korea, which are U.S. allies. They might even be able to hit the United States, but most likely the principal damage will be done to South Korea and to Japan, which means South Korea and Japan have to be talking to Trump and say, look, please do not strike North Korea, because they're going to do some terrible damage to South Korea and Japan. And Trump is therefore caught in a situation where if he delays attacking North Korea in order to protect Japan and South Korea, he gives North Korea more opportunity to build bigger and better bombs that can reach the United States. On the other hand, if he attacks Korea right now, to protect the United States, he is going to jeopardize South Korea and Japan. So he's caught between the rock and the hard place. He either has to sacrifice Japan and South Korea to some degree to attack and protect the United States, or he has to protect Japan and South Korea, major allies on the Western Pacific. He's got to protect them by not attacking North Korea and thereby allowing North Korea to build a bigger and better bomb to attack the United States. He's got to make a difficult choice, and the only way around this right now that I'm able to see is that somebody's got to invent, install reliable weapons on the ocean, on ships, or on South Korea, maybe Japan, that can defend South Korea and Japan against whatever threats are mounted by North Korea. But it looks to me, it appears to me, that for Trump to attack North Korea, first thing he's got to do is protect. He's got to find a viable, reliable system to protect Japan and South Korea. And it's got to be so good that they say, oh, sure, I'll just stand here and you can aim a nuclear weapon at me. But I'm going to trust in this device over on the side here and it'll protect me. Not many people will do that. All right. This is a great, we are caught in a situation where Trump doesn't have an easy solution that I'm able to understand on this. If he proceeds to initiate a preventive war rather than deterrence, he invents he is going to risk our allies, and not just damaging them. Right now, they have to be thinking, I don't know if we want to ride with the United States or not. We're liable to get killed. He has to be, what North Korea is doing is they are driving an effective wedge between the United States and South Korea, between the United States and Japan. They don't want to get nuked. Right? And the United States is saying, no, no, trust us, it'll be all right. And they're saying, I don't know, I don't think so. So what it really comes down to, in part, is that Kim Jong-un is not simply the crazy man that many of us have supposed up until
now. No, he isn't.
He has put Trump in a position where Trump, this is a lose-lose situation for Trump unless he can figure out a way to effectively eliminate North Korea's ability to attack Japan and South Korea before we even worry about whether he can attack the United States. We've got to protect South Korea and Japan, and can we do that? Do we have technology that's able to do that? Do we have intelligence that tells us exactly where the missiles are that might attack South Korea, might attack Japan? Do we have that intelligence?
And well, where is it written in our... Where is it written that we're supposed to be protecting?
Well, yeah, but
you know, but
these are important allies, and we can't sacrifice them.
And
so we're caught in a political situation that's very strange.
Pat Buchanan wrote a great article, and you have to remember too, when Mr. Trump first spoke of Kim, he called him a smart cookie, and he is. And Pat Buchanan had said, let's look at what Trump's options are, but look at North Korea, what his options are. He can give up his nuclear ambitions, but you know what? He's going to end up like Gaddafi. He's going to end up like Saddam Hussein, if he gives up those weapons. Those are his protection now.
And so
he really doesn't, and the other option is, you know, he's going to continue to do what he's doing. He's not going to give him up. He's going to continue to do what he's doing.
He's riding the tiger, and he can't get off. He can't get off that tiger. He's got to hang on. If North Korea gives up its nuclear weapons, it's not just that Kim Jong-un is vulnerable to the United States. He's vulnerable to his own people. To some degree, those nuclear weapons are keeping him in power. All right, when people who are eating grass and maybe tree bark are they have to, well, you know, he's defying the United States. It is an oppressive regime.
But in their minds, the reason they're eating grass is because of the United States.
Yeah, I agree, and they're not entirely wrong.
So why would they? You know, so it's the United States' fault. So Well, they don't care what, you know, they're ready for, you know, to continue the path of the nuclear with their nuclear ambitions.
The whole thing is a problem that won't be easily resolved. It probably can't be resolved without violence. I doubt that anybody can sit down there. I doubt that you can send any diplomats. Okay, you sit on your side of the table. We'll sit on our side of the table. We'll put a white line down the center of the table. You don't cross under the white line to us. We don't cross the white line to you. That's what they used to do between when they were negotiating with the North Koreans back in the day. You can put that together, and there's not going to be a peaceful resolution. I don't think there can be. I think this has to go. And much like the article says that I was reading from, what was the source on that? Just scroll back up here. National Interest. Why war is the only option now? I don't doubt there's going to be a war, but I'm not sure how it's going to be implemented. If Trump can find a way to protect South Korea and Japan from any missiles or significant, you know, conventional explosives coming from North Korea, then he can go. But if he can't, he's caught in a very strange situation. He attacks him, he's going to lose. I mean, South Korea is going to hate us. Japan is going to hate us. You know? Then what? Trump going to get blamed for losing South Korea and Japan as allies if they get bombed, maybe even nuked? He's going to lose them as allies, or he risks Seattle, Los Angeles, Hawaii, you know, Guam. Trump is in a very difficult position, and this explains, to me at least, it offers a credible explanation as why Trump has not acted yet. It isn't just that easy. This is very peculiar stuff. But the key to this, can he protect Japan? Can he protect South Korea? If he can, then he can attack. If he can't, then he's got a real problem. You know? I mean, it's got a Gordian knot here. And the only way you're going to solve this is with the sword. You're going to untie the Gordian knot with the sword, meaning violence. That's the only solution. You know, this thing's been building since the 40s. I think it was 48, the Korean War. I don't remember for sure, but I believe it was 1948, or was it in the early 50s? In any case, it's a 60, 70 year. This has been sitting there throughout my lifetime, and it hasn't been resolved up until now. And the threat of violence has been implicit all along. We've got 28,000 men stationed in South Korea, and they've been there. Or that number or something like it has been there since the end of the Korean War. They're not there to play tiddlywinks. This implies that they anticipate violence. And I don't see another way to resolve this thing. And we can't look to China or Russia for assistance on this. Mm-hmm. Because they're just sitting there laughing, I'd say. They're just relishing this whole thing. Look at Trump. He's caught between the rock and the hard place. Pretty funny, huh? I mean, China's got to just be sitting here and say, what Korea is doing is moving Japan and South Korea away from the United States and perhaps toward who? Not North Korea, per se, but maybe toward China. Before this is done, it might even be that South Korea and Japan, they might even try to negotiate some kind of a deal with China to resolve this problem. And China might be able to do it, but they're not going to let Trump get off the hook, in my opinion.
China ain't going to make a deal with Japan. That ain't going to happen.
Well, that probably not, but yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. That's probably thinking that's too optimistic, I suppose, or foolish. But this is not something that you can think your way through. This is finally going to go to a point where somebody's going to have to die. And, you know, watch and see. Who's it going to be? And that's the question right now. A very difficult problem. So I don't know what Mr. Trump is going to do, but he is caught in a peculiar situation right now.
And you know what, Al?
The option, it may be the best option, but it still means a bunch of people are going to die.
You know what, Al? This is what happens when you kick the can down the road. You know, you've had how many presidents who gave them money, who tried to make deals, and, you know, instead of really dealing with the problem, they kicked the can down the road, just like our economy, just like our finances, just like our fiat currency. Yep. They kicked the can down the road, and it's going to come back and bite them. And I think two of these areas, it's going to bite at the same time. Well, they're going to hit at the same time, whether by design, whether by the economy collapses on their own and so forth. I think you're going to have the two things come together. It's going to be nasty.
You're talking about the U.S. economy and the
war.
Potential war with Korea.
Correct.
Yeah.
But it's a prime it's just they kicked the can down the road and here we are today.
They've been doing the same thing with the debt.
Yes.
Right? Kicking the can down
the
road. No one wants to behave like adults.
Nobody wants responsibility.
We want a free lunch. We want a free lunch. And the government says, okay, they want free lunches. Let's borrow the money. I mean, this is something that goes deeper than government. It involves the American people. We have been eager for the free lunch. We've had it for a long time, and we want to continue it. We don't want to give up our welfare. We don't want to give up our subsidies. We don't. Oh, we'll give up somebody else's welfare. We'll give up somebody else's subsidies, but not mine. I mean, and somewhere along the line, we're going to have to take responsibility. We will either take responsibility or it will be forced upon us. All right? And when it gets forced upon us, that's when we go into poverty and unemployment and God knows what happens then.
Almost $1 trillion in 12 weeks after they suspended the debt ceiling.
Mo, we want a free lunch, Melody. We want a free lunch. And the only way they can provide it is with more debt.
Let's have tax cuts, yeah. That makes sense, doesn't it?
No. The whole thing is nuts. Beam me up, Scotty. I don't
think
Scotty's paying any attention, though.
We're
out of time, folks. We want to thank you for listening. We hope you'll tune in again on Monday. Melody and I will be back at that time. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
Pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my